Yes, we'd like to welcome you. Yes, we'd like to welcome you. Missing Pages of History. This is a program dedicated to be the voice of the voiceless as relates to underserved communities. We understand from these underserved communities they have made many contributions to humanity and to world civilization. And one of the things, as a member of Missing Pages of History and tonight as a host, Brother Lee, we're going to talk a little bit about the conception of Missing Pages of History and why we think this organization was important to bring to existence as relates to underserved communities, and what can we do to bring about a better change in terms of using communications as tools for improving our communities. Today we have with us three guests and members of Missing Pages of History. We have with us Sister Susie Robinson. She is based out of Richmond, Virginia. And we have Sister June McLean, who is based out of Philadelphia. And we also have with us Brother Michael McLean, who also is based out of Philadelphia. They're going to be our guests today. We're going to talk about Missing Pages of History and talk about some current events, what's going on in our communities. And we hope to enlighten our people in terms of just being an example of how we can use communication as a means of improving our communities. First and foremost, we'd like to welcome everyone from Missing Pages of History to our first program. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Susie, June, and Mike, welcome to Missing Pages of History.
Oh. Peace.
Good morning.
Yeah, we like to, first and foremost, maybe start with you, Susie, if you can give us a general idea on why is it important to create such an organization called Missing Pages of History? What is it and what it seeks to do?
What Missing Pages is to me, and what the organization is trying to stand for, is the fact that what we're trying to do is give people insight as to events that have affected them and will affect them, and get it from a perspective of a variety of people, from the youth to the senior citizens. In this way, one way of getting their history, another way we can repay them for allowing us to have that history, is to be able to put that history out in the medium through communication so other people can be aware of it. There's a lot of history that's untold.
Well, that's very interesting. I thought when I first heard of the name Missing Pages of History, it sort of stood out because, like you stated, that there's a lot of things that have been undiscovered, that need to be discovered. And you sort of alluded to, you know, that's maybe one of the reasons why y'all came to existence. June and Mike in Philadelphia, from your point of view, why is this important to be an organization such as Missing Pages of History? What do you hope this organization will do as relates to improving the communities of underserved communities?
Well, this is Mikhail. You know, they call me Mike, but this is Mikhail from Philadelphia. And when I first heard of the organization, Missing Pages of History, it immediately got my attention. Primarily because there's, just as Sister Susie was saying, that there's so much information that just hasn't been brought forth. People have been subjected to mass communications for the last 50, 60 years. And primarily, you've gotten just one person's viewpoint. There's been a lot of information that's been recovered and been uncovered that the average person doesn't get a chance to know. Even going through the public school system, we had, particularly in case of what they call Black history, we had very little information. We had maybe a dozen or so personalities that were discussed, and they generally had a very limited discussion about those personalities. And through my own research, I found that there was more to those persons than had been told, as well as plenty of other personalities that haven't even been discussed and probably won't be in the general mass media. So an organization like this has an opportunity to inform people about a variety of subjects, whether it's historical, political, sociological, or health and wellness. And that's pretty much what I'd like to do as far as working with the organization, to help bring those kinds of ideas to the mainstream. Maybe June has something to add to that.
Okay. June, that was Brother McHale just speaking. Sister
yes,
June.
Peace to the listening audience. This is June. I'm calling from Philadelphia as well. And as Michael and Sister Susie has already stated, the reason why Missing Pages, I wanted to be a part of Missing Pages is that, again, it's going to provide that link of history that has taken place in the past with us here now so that we are able to move forward. It's going to open the eyes and help us Africans here recognize that it's so much that they have not given us, things that we should be aware of, things that have had impacts on us and we don't know why because we don't know our history. So I was attracted to Missing Pages of History because I want to further provide that kind of information to our people, Africans here in America, as well as all other people.
Excellent, excellent, good. Let me talk a little bit about trying to get to know the members of Missing Pages of History a little bit. We know when we talk about organizations are nothing more than individuals or groupings of people who come together around certain ideals and try to work towards making these ideas come into fruition. To talk about an organization, we're actually talking about the dynamic of a group of individuals. And, you know, as individuals, we all have unique personalities and characteristics that we come and bring to the table. Given the fact that I've stated that, I'll start with Sister Susie first. In terms of if you had to describe your personality, Sister Susie, how you think that would play in terms of trying to make Missing Pages of History a viable organization. Seems like to me this is the organization that's going to be geared towards dealing with not only researching information about people, but coming in contact with people on a daily basis and given all the issues and concerns that we have about people, seems like you may have to have a personality that would be a people personality. How does your personality will have an impact on what you'd like to bring to the table when it comes to building Missing Pages of History?
Well, this is Susie. I think for my personality, basically I do like being around people and talking to different people and stuff. And the thing of it is I like to bring, sometimes you have to break the ice, so I like to bring in some humor. And that way that relaxes the person and would allow them to be able to want to talk to us to get certain things accomplished and everything. And let's just start out on a light note and put a little humor in it to make them laugh, to break the ice.
Yeah, I noticed one of the things in your bylaws is you're also a great administrator, so I'm quite sure that will come in play, and we would greatly appreciate those skills. Let's move to Brother McHale. How will your personality fit into building this entity we call Missing Pages of History?
Well, pretty be honest, I wouldn't really consider myself a people person necessarily, but I do love my people and people in general. Personally, I like to do research. I've always enjoyed reading, and as I've gotten older, you know, I've come across a lot of information that you just really don't necessarily hear in the mainstream. And a lot of it has been very impactful upon my life. And knowing the history of African peoples, whether on the continent or in the United States, South America, Caribbean, or all parts of the world, that information has been vital in my own development, and I'd like to share that. Also, I do a little music, Nation Records, Inc., and the music I do is basically designed around those same concepts. It's African-oriented music and positive messages that we try to place inside that music. And again, it's about sharing. You know, we want the good things that you have, you'd like to see other people have also. So that's another reason, another thing that I'd like to bring to the discussion with Missing Pages of History.
To our audience, for those who know Brother McHale, he's a very modest young man. I consider him a culture worker. He is an excellent music producer, composer, and I'm quite sure with his creativity in the world of music and art, he's going to make a significant contribution to our people and our communities. And he has a great working relationship of doing things with the youth. And we can talk a little bit about the music industry later on, Brother McHale. Sister June,
yes.
How would your personality fit into and contribute to developing and influencing Missing Pages history?
I guess in terms of personality, I'm going to say that I'm probably a backstage person, in that I decided years ago that I was interested in observing, watching, and documenting more or less what people do, don't do, or say. When I was in college, my major was sociology, so that spans a variety of things. And right now, my focus seems to be mostly on education. So I'm trying to get as much information as I can about how we receive education and what kind of education and everything we have here and what has been given us here. So I guess in terms of bringing a personality, I'm not quite sure I can say for myself, but I do know that my interest, again, is in research and finding out exactly who we are, what we are, what we can do for each other, and share that information with all our people that we come in contact with.
Excellent, excellent. Let's move forward a little bit. One of the things I found out about Missing Pages of History that makes it sort of unique for many other organizations is that it's a diverse organization in terms of its membership, their skills, their experiences, but also in terms of their geography. I understand Missing Pages of History has a scope of being global. Even though its base may be in the States, but it has a global perspective, uniting communities of our people throughout the world. Right now, you have initial chapters out of Raleigh, Richmond, Philadelphia, and you have supporting sites of Oklahoma City and Denmark. In terms of speaking to this global vision, communicating with our communities all around the world, why is it important at this stage of our development, Brother McHale, for us to take more of a global scope and not so much of a narrow focus of just we in the communities in the United States?
Well, from what I can see, as you turn on the news, the world has gotten a lot smaller, and the means of communication has been multiplied tenfold. Whether it's internet radios like Blog Talk Radio, or whether it's communications through, let's say, streaming, the technology has made it possible now to get a first-hand look at places that you may not quite get to on your own. You can set up a laptop in one country, microphone, camera, and now you have international communications. And as I said before, when you turn on the mainstream media, you turn on the news, you generally see one person's viewpoint on how the rest of the world is developing and what's going on in the rest of the world. And the multiplicity of viewpoints adds to the information so that you can get a better understanding of the wars and rumors of wars that you may see, or the cultural roots of the folks even right here in America, whether they're European, African, Native American. You can really do the research now, whereas before you may have had to rely strictly on that mainstream media. Back in the day growing up, you had, what, 3-4 channels? Then finally, by the 80s, cable comes in, and now you have several hundred to several thousand channels available. And now with the Internet making it even more easy, you can talk to the brothers and sisters in Ghana, let's say, or South Africa, or the Far East. So it's just an opportunity that's been presented, and I can't see any reason why we wouldn't take advantage of that. That communication is a powerful thing. Once you get to know a person or know other people, you can get past all those stereotypes that have been presented over the years. And I think that does something great for the self-esteem of the person. With the media that's been here in this country that I've experienced growing up from the 60s and 70s, you primarily saw all European heroes and Africans and other races sidelined. And now we have a chance to correct those images.
Excellent. Sister June, I noticed one of your models is using communications to build communities. I've had a chance to see some of your documentaries or shows that you have done live to cable programs. I understand you have a TV cable program that airs in the Richmond, Virginia metropolitan area. I have had the privilege to see several shows. And I see that you are using different communication devices to enlighten, inform, to stimulate our communities. Based upon your participation for the last year and a half in terms of using the cable network of doing different type of documentary and shows, what have been some of the things or features or themes that have stood out the most for you as relates to its significance to the community? For example, I know you have done one program on the Philadelphia story, something you might want to share with that audience. You have done one on the women. You have done one on gentrification. But just for, in terms of your own participation, what are some of the ideas or topics that you think was the most relevant to our people? And when can we expect maybe to have these kind of programs available for the public to view?
To piggyback a little bit off of what Mikhail was saying, the one thing communications through various media has done, it has made it a lot easier for us to get these stories much faster and to put them out much quicker. In terms of the type of stories that I've participated in thus far, such as the program that we had recently, this summer, the end of August, here in Philadelphia, we took a look at the North Philadelphia African American story. Through that, with the use of the camera, we were able to go into communities, actually film and talk with students, young students from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade, as well as look at the parents and in these neighborhoods, what they were talking about and what they were doing. And basically, here in Philadelphia and telling that story, everybody pretty much is very interested in what's happening on and in education. The changes that are taking place in the school system here, which is varied, they don't quite know exactly what's going. We've moved from a system of no tolerance to now they're trying to reform it to make the school system a little bit more open and more, hopefully, more structurally and conducive to the need of the child. But that's playing out as we speak. In terms of being able to go on the air in Richmond and meet with some of the people there in Richmond when I was able to participate in the show on women, to talk with a professor who has the knowledge of what's going on, let's say from the woman's point of view, the African woman's point of view here in America. That was really good. Sister Zoe. So pretty much the types of communications with medium that we've had thus far, the camera and going out into the neighborhood, has been a great experience for me. I mean, it's one where I've just taken on because I've never done this in the past, but it's one that I'm hoping that very soon will be provided, those shows will be provided through the public, maybe through a TV program. That is our goal to work to do that.
Excellent. I noticed earlier in my presentation for that audience, we were talking about one of the uniqueness of Mr. Page's history in terms of his geography, in terms of his varied chapters and his long reach of connecting communities from all over. Given the fact that, we have with us today Sister Susie from Richmond, Virginia, I noticed, Sister Susie, that historically, Richmond has been a very key city in setting trends, political trends, all kinds of trends, as relates to the South, as relates to the southern part of the United States, and overall United States as a country. I noticed even outside of the United States, people from all over the world come to Richmond to see different kinds of historical artifacts, statues, and you name it, because Richmond was one of the first cities where they first settled here. But since we have you on the phone, Sister Susie, in terms of current events, I'd like for you to talk us a little bit about what is life is like today, if you had to write your page on what life is like today for the Africans who live in Richmond. What would you say? What is going on in Richmond? What are some of the social issues and conditions of African people?
Now, some of the issues today that a lot of us are going through here in Richmond is the fact that economically you can see the impact of how it's affecting people, as far as a lot of people are actually unemployed or underemployed, and they're constantly frustrated by that, and also the educational level. We are having a lot of problems with the school systems, as far as even down to issues like the transportation, meal planning, and things that are affecting the people. And somehow the people in Richmond seems like the morale is actually down. So one thing I hope Missing Pages does is sort of at least try to get them around a lot of these communities, because you can ride through them and you can see that people are disillusioned with the economics and everything that's going on today.
Let me give you a general opinion, and I don't want you to be a politician, but I would like you to give us a general assessment. What is your feeling towards the relationship of the people in Richmond, which is basically about 57% African, and then you have, Europeans and others, in terms of what is the atmosphere like, or the attitude towards the those Africans who are in positions of authority and power? Historically, Richmond was viewed as a very significant city because it was one of the first cities to develop black male, and in Richmond, which is the capital of the state of Virginia, they even recently developed or chosen a black African governor. What is the people relationship? What is that feeling? What is that relationship to those black elected officials in terms of whether or not do they support them, and do the officials advocate types of programs that is beneficial to the underserved communities? What, just a general opinion for speaking to people. Where is their level of engagement as it relates to supporting the so-called black leadership in Richmond?
From my opinion, the people in Richmond, they're dissatisfied with our black leadership, because a lot of them feel that they're not really going out for the interests of the black or African community. Basically, they're doing a lot of catering and posturing towards certain other ethnic groups instead of the black Americans.
Okay, that's good. That's what the uniqueness aspect about our family and interest about this organization. Going to Philadelphia, McKay or June, give us the present climate. What's life like up in Philly? What are some issues going on in Philly in terms of you'd like to share with the world that the world may need to know?
Well, this is Mikhail, and what's happening in Virginia is happening in Philadelphia for the most part. It's just the same general problems. The economy's bad, and that's been bad throughout the country and Europe and pretty much the whole world. So everybody's facing the same set of circumstances. In terms of the African community here, African-American and also the brothers and sisters who come in from Africa, the representation And Philadelphia is also a city that has got to be at least 40 to 50% African in terms of population. The representation, it's pretty much what Sister Susie described. Black mayor, a lot of black people on the city council, and they're unable, at least it seems at this point, unable to really directly address the problems of the Africans in this population. And in general, it seems to be that's a policy. If you're going to be an elected official, you have to represent the geographic area that you're assigned, and you can't push for one particular ethnic group over the other. That kind of work seems to be relegated to the people themselves. If they're not going to do it themselves, it's not going to get done. The school system here is failing. Cutbacks. So we have a Republican governor here, Governor Corbett, and he's cut people's assistance checks. Whether you are recovering from an addiction, before they had some money to help you survive, now that's gone. Women with children, single mothers, their money's been cut. And it looks like we're going to have to really look at our situation and come up with some outstanding alternatives to our current situation.
Sister June, would you like to take a stand from your version? Or what's life like in Philadelphia, particularly being an African woman?
Okay. Pretty much being an African woman here in Philadelphia, if you don't have any education, let's see, beyond high school, or you're not self-educating yourself, you're going to have problems. Because, like you said, at one time we could pretty much rely on the welfare system to help us out. But as Michael said, the monies, if you're single and you have kids, you don't have anywhere to go get money or resources to help yourself out. So I would say that it's a struggle being a black African-American woman, and it's a struggle, a harder struggle, being a single mother who's trying to survive in an urban environment with no funds or resources. The one thing that I would like to see is that we begin to pull together, combine resources, and that's going to be done, I hope, and plan to make it that way with the help of Missing Pages. But the more information that I can get for myself, I can pass on to the other sisters who, if we can come together collectively, we will be able to maybe build something. It may not be that large in the beginning or that great in the beginning, but with momentum and time and keep pushing, you know, we may be able to help a lot of the sisters who are out there struggling on a single effort to really raise themselves up and do better for themselves.
Okay, we're coming down to the last few minutes of this program. And I got each one of y'all respond to this question. If you can limit your presentation to about 30 to 45 seconds. Miss Pages of History is a newly developed, community development organization, corporation. In terms of seeking new membership to help build and improve the organization, what can each one of y'all say to our audience in terms of encouraging them to come and help join y'all endeavors to help make our communities better? I start with Brother McHale.
Well, one second.
Brother
McHale will be speaking very shortly.
Well, you go ahead, Sister June. You got less than a minute. Give me about 30-second response. What can you say to the audience? Why should they come help build Missing Pages of History?
Well, we have a group of people from diverse backgrounds and a diverse set of knowledge, different schools of thought, and we need more information. And if we work together, we can turn things around. First, in providing a new mind for the African community and other groups, And by coming together, we can get things done, whether it's physical or whatever.
On that note, we got to like to thank our guests. Tonight, we've been talking about Missing Pages of History, which is a community development organization, nonprofit organization. It's seeking to build our community, a strong community through communication. For more information, we'd like to share with our audience. You can contact them at 804-519-0357, or you can write to them at P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. Until next time, let's continue to help build our organizations. Let's make our contribution to Missing Pages of History, because we believe it's an organization that is vital in order for our community to get better. Until next time, it's your host, Lee Robson. We thank you for listening to Missing Pages of History.
Peace.